Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, have you traveled in spiritual zones, let's call them, or heavens? Where have you been? Maybe in your dreams, that's great. Some people are actually astral travelers. They can get out there, they can dream travel very consciously and report on it. And so to help us understand dream travel and how he has found wonders in the universe and has written a wonderful book called Rippling Waves, I'm so happy to interview the author, Anthony Teresi. Anthony, welcome to Energy Stew.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You know, I love the book, and reading it is an astral travel just to read it.
So it was designed that way, so I hope so. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it goes on and on and on of places you visit on other realms, in other realms. But to get started, actually, let's talk about who you are in a way that got you started in this. You know, not that you weren't born to it, but that you've had life experiences that have awakened you in ways that a lot of people haven't. So can you tell us?
Well, I was very fortunate to be born into a family that I'm a fourth generation intuitive. And I don't mean that so much as a genetically experience, but I mean that these phenomena were very well accepted in my upbringing. And I often make the example that even when I was 8 or 9 years old, I would tell my mother that the phone was going to ring, and 10 minutes later it would ring, and everybody would smile, and it was really a comforting, supportive type family environment. And my father, while not necessarily quote unquote psychic, was certainly ahead of his time. He was into the initial UFO movement and was always telling me about life on other planets and the existence of the spirit. So these are the basis and the foundation that I grew up in. So as I say, I consider myself extremely fortunate from that standpoint. But as I went on, after trying several things, I found music to be the most attractive way of expressing myself. And I became a musician. That was my first love. While always studying metaphysics and spiritual reality, I found ways to integrate that into being a musician. At the time, especially, experimental music and things like spontaneous improvisation were very much the norm at that particular point, which I found, and I didn't even know it, but during the scope of that, which was a couple decades, it took me about 18, 19 years or so to master my instrument. And in that process, I didn't realize that I was also fine-tuning my psychic and my intuitive and my ability to read consciousness. At one particular point, it became evident that I was no longer in need of my body. My body was simply the vehicle that my creative will was using to create the music. And that was an amazing breakthrough. And that put me in a position to realize that I was free consciousness-wise from the constraints of 5 senses or 6 senses, whatever you want to call it.
I love that. And it's so, what a wonderful revelation that is to understand about your consciousness and how infinite it is.
This is true. And it took a while, like I said, to get past the mental chatter that is always, quite frankly, in our way when it comes to really being able to embrace what we are destined to become. We're constantly telling ourselves what's possible and what's not possible. And that's a detriment to really achieving the ability to tap into consciousness and to be able to evolve and create and experience. So there's so much more than what we see in our everyday life.
But people aren't trained to explore that area of consciousness. People are mostly trained to ignore it, or if anything, to avoid it, because it's unexplainable.
Well, that's the whole thing. Thank God it's unexplainable, because I don't know how we would do that, you know, kind of thing. And that's the problem, quite frankly. As I mentioned, we're literally programmed, especially in this day and age, through the internet and through ads and through political and all this kind of stuff. We're sort of screwed down into the three-dimensional reality that we exist in and made to feel that this is everything. And anyone who elevates themselves beyond that is looked down as kind of like, well, that's odd. How did you do that? You know, kind of thing.
And I'm thinking of children, little children, who are still open to this greater consciousness and are free to talk about it if their parents felt it was reasonable, and they generally don't. And they generally want their children to believe that their imaginations have no validity.
True, and it's unfortunate. And as I said, being from a family that embraced that, I think was a tremendous help in not having that stigmatism of like, well, you know, that's voodoo or that's woo-woo or that, you know, don't go there kind of stuff. I was really encouraged to go there. So again, like I said, I was a musician for almost a little over 30 years. And then I began developing the realization that music, being vibration, is also healing. And I began creating and inventing one-of-a-kind musical instruments that were healing in their nature. And this all brought me to the point of realizing that vibrational frequency is the basis of all reality. And in that regard, through being through the years of being a musician, I realized that I was able to bypass my mental process entirely. And often, and this is not just me, you'll hear dancers and singers and people who have mastered whatever mode they're in say the same thing. When you get to a point where you've done that, it's almost as if you're standing there watching yourself doing this thing, you know, this playing or whatever the case may be.
You mean it's transporting?
Transporting, but like I said before, it's also freeing, because you're not thinking about how to, you're not thinking at all, you're simply doing. And that means that you're in the moment, and that's where reality takes place. There is no future, there is no past, it's really only now. But we're so programmed into thinking that the opposite is true. In either case, that led me to a series of different kinds of, I mean, didn't lead me to, I had been studying yoga, I had been studying metaphysics, I had been all these years in a parallel development, I had been utilizing these skills. In either case, I had also a great breakthrough, not to go, we don't have that much time, but I had a great breakthrough with my brother, who was killed in a plane crash, and I had a transcendent experience when he came to me to tell me that he was leaving, and the joy that came from that, and the experience of that veil parting was my life was never the same again after that.
Right, and just to know that he is happy on the other side. And to have a direct experience of him telling you that, not just somebody telling you, but you hearing directly from him makes it all the more perfect.
Yeah, and also in the context of that, seeing into that realm, seeing into that, that parting of the veil, if you will, was extremely instrumental in my future development, because I realized that if I could see it once, I could see it again, because it was an experience that showed that. And that was the springboard from which I was able to, through love and through focus and through determination, to not be limited by my physical body, I found that my consciousness was able to embrace realm after realm after realm. And I want to add something here. excuse me. The realms that I speak of in my book are not linear in terms of like from here to there. It's as if they all exist simultaneously in the same space. It's just one of the examples my father used to tell me, as a matter of fact, was that if you took two flashlights, one brighter than the other, and you crossed their beams, where they hit, they would both exist at the same time. The lights would be interacting. And that's how these dimensions are. They interact, but they're at higher frequency levels. For example, our three-dimensional reality, just to be give you an idea, exists at the speed of light. That has been the standard, if you will. But what happens after the speed of light? Well, then that's where the next dimension, frequency, vibrational dimension begins. Well, how do we get there? Well, one of the ways that they're finding, scientifically speaking, is that black holes are almost assuredly a way to transform through. We haven't gotten that science down yet, but from my point of view, the way that I've been able to bypass that is through the ability to intuitively tap into consciousness aside from the mental process, being able to leave the mental process behind, employing intuition through an elevated love of life. Love is the actual key factor, because it actually is the juice that makes the vehicle fly. If you are able to embrace the fact that you are a beautiful being of essence created out of love, no matter what your circumstances were or are, then you are able to go into that energy, and there's no limit to how far you can go.
But let's define the word love too, because a lot of people don't know how to use it properly for what you're talking about. Because I think of it as the sense of oneness and wholeness, and an infinity of that. And so it's being embraced by all is everything at once. And to me, that's how you can experience love.
I define love, and I agree with that. But I personally define love as source love. I mean, in this context, there's parental love and there's romantic love, but what I'm speaking of is source love, or God love, or divine love, or
but
whatever.
Even that, you have to have a sense that's not linear. You can't think of it as a linear expression. It's something that's larger than time and space.
Absolutely, and a wise sage once said that if I stand and look out at the universe and the vastness that appears to be in front of me, I realize that I'm nothing. But if I understand that I am a creation of love, born of love, and created through the process of the greatest being that we can attest to, then I realize that I'm everything.
I knew you were going to say that. I was looking forward to that.
So that is the key. When you realize, not you, but I mean all of us, when we realize that we have that gift within us, that we are literally gifted with this creative expression that was born out of love, then that is the vehicle by which we can go anywhere.
Right, but we have to find that sense. And that's why I've done radio shows about the Yoga Sutras, about how to, and music can do that too. Find ways to experience a feeling of being multidimensional.
Absolutely. Music, art, the contemplation of beauty, aesthetics. There are so many ways to do that. But the one thing that is most important, and I do go through this in the book, is that it's not a matter of simply focusing out there. I mean, we have to realize that we are a universe within ourselves. And by going inwardly, the farther that we can get into ourselves to the point to where we realize the singularity that we are, that allows us to escape into the higher dimensions of love. That then takes us into the areas that are right at the bottom of my book. So I do cover both areas.
And yes, and you know, I love the fact that you are in your book, you're taking us on this journey that you're experiencing it, and beautifully written. I mean, you have, you know, the words, I'm just floating in the words in your book that just feel so powerful. To bring us there, to be with you.
Well, the book is a capsulation. It's a condensed version of the many fortunate experiences I've had, and I had to put it in some kind of form. So I chose to do it as a travel or a journey. Early on, some friends of mine who had read my manuscripts suggested that it's more like a memoir, but I didn't want to write it as a memoir. I wanted to write it as a journey where we take everybody along with us and show this journey in these various dimensions so that other people can relate to it. Because what I'm talking about, I have been able to develop along my entire life. And that's what this book encapsulates. It's actually a life work.
Yeah, but your journey is timeless.
Right. But I have to emphasize that you, me, every person that exists on this planet, if they choose to, they can have these experiences. There's just a deprogramming that has to happen. So you realize that you can stop being thinking that everything you see is the end all be all, and realize that the journey exists from your heart inside out.
Right. And to take ourselves out of a feeling, I come back to the word of linearity. It's really, because not long ago, I did a show with a woman who channels archangels, and we were told that, well, thinking about past lives, etc., like, you know, and they said, no, out in other dimensions, there's no sequence. Everything is parallel, and so we create sequence.
So absolutely.
So once we know that, then we let reality kind of explore us.
Well, that's a big, I completely agree with that. By learning to calm yourself, be in the moment, which again is where life takes place, it's almost as if you are able to completely free yourself from the constraints of the concepts of time. This, unfortunately, as I said, we've been so mesmerized by this issue of time, but in truth, reality exists in a timeless way.
Right, exactly. And that's what that parallel means, so that everything can happen at the same time. And it's that we create sequence.
Everything is happening at the same time.
Right, but it's hard. It's very hard to grasp that.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying this is something that you're going to, you know, fall out of bed tomorrow morning and all of a sudden you'll understand the whole thing. Right. But I hope that by reading my book, it will at least open a door to what is possible and pique someone's curiosity to want to try and experience these things themselves.
And also just to have a sense of the worlds out there that you you came across a world called Trisara. It's beautiful, and it's a very functional world where there are people creating all kinds of objects and inventions and building a world, but it's a world of great imagination, and we've done that here, but it's so solid here we get stuck in it.
That's true. In Trisara, I found that one of the greatest, most exhilarating feelings I've ever experienced was seeing an entire world, an entire species, an entire population that were so integrated and so connected to love that their only function was, how can we be even a greater oneness? How can we see to the fact that we are all generating this evolutionary experience together. And in doing so, they were able to, are able to create tremendous consciousness, tremendous love, and ride on that even further and develop. But even there, they're the first to state that there are lands far, far beyond their existence.
Right.
They themselves are trying to get to.
There could be an infinite number of Trisaras.
I'm sorry, I'm sure there is, yeah.
Yeah, there's a vastness that we have no idea about because we're trained to live in such materialism and and work with rulers and compasses. But in the book you talk about presence, being, you know, learning how to live in presence. You spend time in blackness. You meet a spirit called the Daughter of Love. I mean, there's so many parts of your book that are just, you know, you, as we come across them reading your book, it's like, oh, this feels so good.
Well, that's one of my favorite parts of the entire book, because the Daughter of Love reveals in the storyline, the Daughter of Love reveals a profound reality. One of her statements is, because up to that point, we're looking at the universe, we're trying to figure out what the world is going on here with the universe of universes. And she tells us these actions, while intriguing, are the wrong direction. You're never going to figure out what the cosmos is. You're never going to figure out even consciousness wise. And even the greatest beings that exist, should they travel on forever, will still not figure it out. But the object is to turn your attention to experience the greatest source love possible. That will take you where you need to be. That will take you toward the most divine fountain of love and the greatest evolution that you can experience.
Right.
It's a beautiful part of the book.
Right, so it's not cerebral.
Definitely not cerebral.
Right, but we have to be in talking about it.
Yeah.
So we're getting near the end of the show. I'm having so much fun talking with you. Hopefully we can do more at some point.
I'd love to.
Yeah, it's I'd love to explore this, the realms. Let's just call them the realms because it's infinite. And how where are you located for people?
Well, I'm located in Los Angeles, actually a little bit north of Thousand Oaks, California. I have an office here. But I talk to people all over the world. You can go to my website, which is myname.com, anthonycherisi.com. That has all my contact information. And you can also go to Amazon and put in Rippling Waves and my book will come up. Or you can go to my website. There's a tab for my book as well. There's my email, my phone number, all the services that I'm currently providing. That's the best way to get in touch with me.
Wow. Yeah. Good. I'm glad that you're so available. And I'm so happy that you've been available for Energy Stew to explore this with you and for me to meet you and enjoy a discussion like this. It's been wonderful.
Well, I have to say, I think you're doing wonderful work bringing these kinds of topics to the world. We need more shows like this, and so I applaud your efforts. I think that you're part of what's really helping people get past these materialistic considerations. So namaste to you.
Yeah, thank you. Back to you. I'm very grateful to know you. So thank you so much for being a guest in
there. Oh, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it. I hope we can talk again sometime.
Yes, for sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.